You know, San Francisco School District funds schools based on their needs. So the base rate is $3,000 per student. So each school is allocated $3,000 per student. And then they add on more money based on how many free and reduced lunch students they have, based on how many English language learners they have, based on the number of special education students. So schools with greater needs do receive more money.
That's intended to make it equitable.
That's intended to make it more equitable. That's right. And a lot of people have trouble wrapping their heads around this. There's nothing simple about school finance. So if you have a school that's raising, you know, an additional $500 to $1,500 per student, that adds a lot to the school site budget, you know, as much as we found that, you know, for the top fundraising schools, they would add around 25% to the budget. Now, it's really important to understand that when a school, like with a lot of immigrants and with a lot of poverty, receives more money from the district, that isn't money that they're throwing into a hole. That's money that they're using to pay English language instructors. That's money that they're using to pay special education instructors. That is money that they are using to buy food for the students because their families can't afford food.
You just made that statement, you know, and you make it a point. Do you feel that there's misunderstandings as to where the money goes?
I've heard a lot of response to this article since it came out. And I think that a lot of people believe that because the poorer schools receive more funding from the district, that therefore the funding is somehow unequal and that the more affluent schools are getting, quote unquote, and I've heard this many times, the short end of the stick.
And therefore need to raise money on their
own. And therefore need to go out and raise money. It's very important. But, you know, we have to understand that these schools are receiving more money because they have greater needs. What we're trying to do is invest in our future. You know, if you have a school that is not, and, you know, and I'm just describing the district philosophy, by the way. If you have a school that's 90% immigrant, well, you know, those kids need to learn English. They don't necessarily have computers at home. They need to be trained to work on computers. And we all benefit from that. This is the official philosophy of the school system. And I'm not describing some sort of radical socialist, you know, vision of utopia here. You know, the official policy of the school system is that we invest more in the students who need it more so that they can grow up and become a part of this society and become part of, you know, our economic growth. And that's very important. You know, one of the parents I interviewed made the point that education is an investment. It's not an expenditure. When we invest in our kids, you know, we're equipping them to go out into the world and to do great things. If we underinvest in our kids, then we are creating problems for ourselves, all of us, down the line.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, and I'm speaking with Jeremy Adam Smith, author of the report Public Schools, Private Money, in the latest edition of the San Francisco Public Press. He's also fellow with the Institute for Justice and Journalism and author of The Daddy Shift. So your report looked at two schools, focused mm-hmm. on these two schools. One was Groton and the other one is Junipero Serra. So tell me about the fundraising and PTA involvement there and what kind of money they raise or don't raise.
Right. So Junipero Serra, or J. Serra, as it's affectionately known, is a 90% immigrant school. 86% of the students qualify for free and reduced lunch, and you have to be very poor to qualify for free and reduced lunch. So that means they don't have a lot of resources. And their PTA raises an average of about $25 per student. Their focus, the PTA leaders told me, is much more on building community, a lot of which revolves around food.
How is that?
Well, for example, you know, if you go to a PTA meeting at Junipero Serra, what you see is, you know, just tremendous heaping amounts of food and a lot of people talking and a lot of energy. And that reflects the spirit of the school. But yeah, I mean, Junipero Serra, their PTA, is much more focused on building community, much less focused on raising money for the simple reason that they don't have as much money to raise. That capacity is not there. It's not a matter of being organized. It's not a matter of having good leadership. It's a matter of their families simply being very poor. And so they're not able to do this. So what this has meant for Gina Parisera is that they were not protected from layoffs during the past 5 years. They were not able to hire extra staff during the past 5 years, increasing their standardized test scores, which they have been able to do, by the way, by about 36 points. That has been much more of a struggle. Their principal, Evelyn Chung, described it to me as a superhuman effort on the part of the teachers, just trying so hard. But, you know, and they've had to make so many hard choices. You know, they stopped buying school supplies for 1 year. They, you know, they had to lay off all of their arts teachers. They had to lay off their school social worker. They had to lay off their school nurse. And, you know, and what Evelyn said to me was that this hurts. This, when you lay off people, when you cut people out of the school community, suddenly it creates a sense of stress in the school community amongst both the kids and also the parents and, of course, the staff. And it creates a sense of discontinuity and uncertainty about the future. And, you know, and that is a clear-cut disadvantage that a school like J. Sarah had in relation to Groton. Does this mean that Groton is bad? Absolutely not. Groton is a great school. It's a school that everybody should be proud to attend, and I hope their PTA does not stop fundraising. But we need to understand that these inequities exist. We need to understand that if your system of school finance relies upon parent donations, that those donations are going to reflect affluence, and it's going to widen the gap between the affluent minority and the poor majority.